It's a race around the world, and you know what? I can't wait to hear his New Zealand accent again. John Montgomery from Amazing Race Canada joining us on the line. Hello there.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm great. New Zealand, eh? What kind of a New Zealand accent am I supposed to have?
You've got a Manitoba accent like I do. That's the thing, right?
That's right.
I should point out, John, actually, you're from my home province of Manitoba. The big city, right? Russell.
It's a huge metropolis of Russell, yes. All 1,500 of us.
Yeah, well, I've got to say, you know what, because during the Olympics, for those who aren't familiar, John, now a famous Olympian, you were really rocking the province. There were some celebrations in your hometown. I'm sure you've seen the pictures and heard the stories about that.
Well, I'm sure they were celebrating all good things Canadian that was happening in 2010, not just myself, but I was happy that I could be part of it.
Well, let's talk about that. We'll get to Amazing Race Canada in just a bit, but, you know, I want you to brag. You see, you've won Olympic, you've won Worlds medals. How many medals do you have? Where do you keep them? Give us the dirt.
I don't know how many I've won. Although I do keep my Olympic gold medal in a sock drawer, so it's easy access on my way out the door when I'm heading to events, because, quite honestly, if it had legs, it wouldn't need me, because I think it's the hot topic at when I do go to events, for sure.
Events too, but come on, do you take it to, like, you know, house parties and things like that, or has the novelty worn off?
Well, I've never taken it to a house party like that, but when I do get invited to go and speak and present and be at public events, usually there's a lot of interest in the medal as well, so that's where it makes its debut.
Let's talk about that, because again, you know, you won, it was your home turf. Are you thinking about what the country is going to feel? Are you focused on the event at hand? Like, what's in your mind when you're competing at the Olympics?
Well, the only thing that should be on your mind is the execution of your game plan for the moment that matters most, which you've been training the last, you know, 4, 8, 12, 16 years for, is your performance on that day. So you can't be thinking about what the country thinks of you. And to be honest with you, anybody that's worth their salt is going to love you all the same, whether you're win, lose, or draw. And that's what your family does, and they're there to support you in those sorts of times, win, lose, or draw. And anything else that comes along in terms of support is bonus, and anything that's negative, well, you can pay it no mind, because it doesn't really matter.
Exactly. But yes, Canada, definitely it was a proud moment for the country watching that. So speaking of Canada, Amazing Race Canada, what I love about the show, you can go from Saskatchewan to India in a one-hour time period. That's pretty incredible.
Yes. On TV. In reality, it takes much longer, which I'm going to be honest is a grind, man. Getting from Saskatoon to Kolkata doesn't just happen because you want it to. You got to, put in the time and travel, and it's a trek, I'll be honest.
Well, yeah, I mean, what I love about the Canadian version, though, is that it always seems to come back to Canada, right? With the American one, they're just going from country to, or even continent to continent, but it always seems like part of this race kind of always brings you back or takes you away from Canada at some point, right?
That's the plan, yeah. We get out there, we explore our country, but in the same breath, we're going to go abroad and find Canadian themes and angles and things to celebrate in other countries around the world, and there are a lot of Canadian connections in a lot of places around the world, and we try to play those up a little bit, have some fun with them, and show the world, or show Canadians, the rest of the world, and while showcasing our own backyard here and letting people know that we have a lot to be proud of here at home.
While you've been exploring the Canadian backyard, I know you've traveled coast to coast and around the world. What has surprised you most about the Great White North while you're venturing out to all these places?
Refreshing, not surprising, but refreshing to see how Canadians interact with their own people, I guess. And watching it on the show, how helpful Canadians are, and how, you know, gregarious and outgoing, and how much personality the different areas in Canada embody. And you know, when you're in Newfoundland, the people there are, you know, salt of the earth. I love the folks on the East Coast. The West Coast is where I call home. Wouldn't want to live anywhere else in the world. And you know, I grew up on the prairie, so I've pretty much been able to live in just about every single part of the country, and for me, I'm always rewarded with going around and introducing, I guess, new things to Canadians and showing them what else we can be proud of here in our backyard besides what we know in our own local areas.
So if you could pick one place, not necessarily to live or even just to spend a day, if you got the afternoon and the evening free in Canada, where would you go?
Well, if I had a jet and it was no problem getting anywhere, well, to be honest, there's a lake right by the house where I'd rather spend most of my time than anywhere else in Canada. But I've got to get to Labrador. Haven't been up there yet, and that is calling me. That's probably one of the few undiscovered areas in the country that I can go and do a little bit of touring around. So Fogo Island, maybe up there. I've seen a lot of pictures and a lot of ad campaigns from that particular neck of the woods, and so that would be some place that I would like to go and explore a little bit more.
So if John Brunton's listening right now, next season, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's there.
Let's put it out there. What's been the reaction as you're traveling the world? You know, we hear that, you know, people love Canadians no matter where you go. Is that honestly what you've experienced, though, when you've traveled to other places doing this show?
Absolutely. We are met with open arms, and people, you know, try and, I guess, ask us what we're doing in every place that we've been. And when we do tell them where we're from, it's always met with a smile and definitely open arms in terms of being welcomed into communities and neighborhoods and countries in that regard.
Okay, so about the competition then, looking at the teams this season, because I'm sure you meet them before they come on to the show, has anybody surprised you? Did you sort of pinpoint anybody at the beginning and say, uh-oh, they're going to be a disaster, and then they've actually done really well?
Nobody's like that, but I have been pleasantly surprised by, you know, who surprised me a little bit this year is Brent and Sean. I mean, those guys, their intestinal fortitude, maybe Sean's intestinal fortitude isn't what it should be for the puking matter, but in terms of having that that gut strength to push on and to believe in themselves and to leave nothing on the race, Brent and Sean this year were definitely pleasant surprises for me because they pushed a lot harder than I thought they could.
Do these people know the rules of the game on the season? Because there's been a lot of penalties handed out, and it's just like nobody's following the rules, right?
Well, we don't hand out penalties. People incur penalties because they know that they either don't want to finish a challenge or can't finish a challenge, and there's a lot of strategy to be, I guess, considered when you are taking a penalty. We don't give them. People take them. So we haven't... last year, I believe that there was one penalty, which... caused a stoppage of play, and it was just unsafe behavior in terms of driving, running a red light, which is a 15-minute penalty for the first infraction, and that played out on screen last year. And this year we haven't had any such occurrences, but people are taking penalties as a result of some really challenging challenges.
But see, when they're quitting like that, doesn't it just make you want to say, you know what, give me your passport. You know what, you're not on the race anymore. You're done. You're done.
No, not at all. Like I said, there's a lot of strategy to be played in some of these penalties, and if... for lack of a better reason, or lack of a better term, they do quit. There's sometimes that is your best choice. Because if you cannot complete a challenge, what's the point of keeping beating your head against the wall, let everybody get ahead of you? If you know that you're not going to do it, I would suggest taking the penalty. But in the same breath, think about it before you do it. I mean, last year I think that there was a situation where, there was some quitters, and they just... didn't think about it long enough. They didn't think about it hard enough. There was nothing physically overwhelming about that particular challenge. It was just simply that they couldn't be bothered to try and work any harder at it. And yeah, that was quitting. But this year, I haven't seen an example of anybody actually quitting. The penalties that have been taken, I think that they were well thought through. And I don't think anybody should hang their head for taking a penalty this year.
But is it happening more on the Canadian version than the American? I mean, the American version's been on, you know, 20-something seasons. I don't, you know, it just seems weird that it's happening this season on the Canadian version.
Hard is harder, plain and simple.
So let's
make it easy. Who's gonna need to take a penalty? And that it shouldn't be made so easy that anybody could just walk through it. It needs to be made tough enough that some people on the race just aren't going to be able to do it, and they'll have to strategize about potentially taking a penalty.
Let's talk about teams in general, though. What, in your opinion, what makes a good team? Or is it the type of relationship? Is it, you know, if you're married, if it's a parent, if it's your child? Like, what should people, if they want to go on the show next season, what kind of personality traits or characteristics should they bring?
Well, I think, like you mentioned, the relationship is first and foremost to any successful partnership. And you saw Gino and Jesse, you know, hug it out last week on the at the Finding Mini John, or the mini-me portion of the race. They took a second, they were at each other's throats, they got back to what makes them tick and what makes them work, which is a brotherhood, a bromance there that they've got going on. They hug it out, they got back on task, they found Mini John, and they were on the move again. And if you don't have that kind of a relationship where you can be open and honest and take a second to, you know, call each other's eyes out, but then get back to what makes you guys strong, you're looking at the team that price for it. And so I think that ability to fight well, fight nice, get back on point, and buckle down, I think that's going to be what is most important in a relationship. You saw last year Megan and Natalie go along and win, what was it, 7 legs in a row, something like that. And they weren't the strongest team, but they worked well together. They worked well under pressure, and they communicated well. And that's that was the reason for their success. They were obviously talented and physical, but they weren't the strongest people on the team, and they still found ways to prevail and overcome. So I think that's what you got to be looking for when you're picking a partner.
So you're running the race. Who is your partner?
Well, it has to be my wife. Sadly, I don't know that she and I embody all those qualities that I just mentioned to be able to do well in the race. Because I guess when I fight, I get pretty wound up, and then I explode a little bit, and then she's sort of left reeling in my wake. And so we'd have to find a way for me to get back on point a little bit quicker from my perhaps Scottish heritage that causes me to blow up a little bit. But I think that she and I would do all right. Navigation would definitely be our Achilles heel on the race, for sure.
Yeah, she's joining us on the line. Let's ask her. No, I'm kidding. every season when we have Phil Kogan on, actually he's on our show next week, but I ask him, what's the hardest location to pronounce for you this season?
Off the top of my head, I couldn't think of it. Sorry.
Just a couple.
You know what it is?
Oh,
Brent Sean's hometown. I don't even want to venture a guess at what that was. I did read it once, and I think I did an okay job when they were doing the opening credits of the opening episode.
Right.
But their hometown is a mouthful.
So you're not going to win that award, like the weather guy. Did you see that a couple weeks ago?
Who... I did see that. That was bananas. I watched it a whole bunch of times. When I was finished watching it, I had no idea how he was able to get his brain wrapped around the phonetically saying that correctly.
Apparently he practiced, so I guess maybe it's practice is perfect, right? You just have to work on that next time.
I need more than 1,000 hours to get that one right.
Actually, well, Phil has said to us that sometimes they even have debates and arguments amongst each other about how to pronounce certain things, and then they ask locals,
totally.
And yeah. So, well, and that's the thing too, right, is that you don't want to mispronounce it. I think a couple weeks ago I heard that, let's get off track here. Global News, I believe, has somebody from Toronto doing the Manitoba weather on the weekends and totally mispronounced some, areas in Winnipeg and in Manitoba, which, you're going to offend the locals. That's not good.
That would ruffle some feathers. Yeah, we do take it very seriously, the pronunciation of words, the places that are serving as landmarks and so on. And it's probably one of the most important things that I'm tasked with on the show, is saying things correctly, because it is important to the locals, and you want to do it justice and you don't want to offend anybody. So yeah, we have lots of discussions about, is it buffalo or bison, and we don't always get it right, but we do put a lot of effort into it. And with all the moving parts and with all the words that we have to choose very carefully for the show, of course one or two slip through, and there's always the guy at home who's watching and listening very, very intently, and he will send you that note, so we wait for them.
Those are they're called Twitter nerds is what they're called, I believe.
Oh, I didn't know they had a handle, but I'll use that.
I think that they're just geeks. They're low lives. That's what it is. No, it's true. But definitely regional, regional importance, because it's a Genie's cake, not a Jenny's cake, right?
That's right.
We know that. All right. So the race is in the home stretch, though. The big season finale coming up. What can we expect on that episode?
More awesomeness, a winner. I promise you, they will be Canadians. A man and a woman will have made each of the winners. And that's about all I can tell you, man.
A groundbreaking. That is just riveting.
Yeah, isn't that just what you wanted to hear?
You've just lit up Twitter. They're already now saying that you've spoiled it for them. Well, we're going to be watching Amazing Race Canada. It airs on CTV, right?
You betcha.
John Montgomery, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.